When the clock hits a couple of minutes past 7 p.m. on every weekday or every workday, you know it's time for Game On 99.3 Nigeria Info. Good evening, Lagos, Nigeria, Africa, the world and beyond, even to the extraterrestrial bodies. We say a fine evening to you. Welcome to another riveting, exciting edition of the show, Game On 99.3 Nigeria Info. We are on the edges of Nigeria's finest for news, talk and sport, and we certainly do conversations better than anybody else, better than you can find anywhere else in the world. Promises to be fun, promises to be exciting. Another day, another time to talk what really affects us as Nigerian on the sporting level, from grassroots football to national team football, and of course European football as well. We talk about these things to tell you, or to give ourselves better information, and to put us in better stead for what is thought, or basically what is a thinking or an ideology of some sort. So that's what we do right here on the show. Promises to be fun. Like I said, I am Samuel Victor Akman, bidding you warm welcome to the broadcast. And I've got my colleagues alongside me on a Tuesday. You know how we roll. You know the regular Tuesday crew. And we get conversations, getting exciting conversations in the studio. Well, let's start to meet them, because we've got big conversation concerning Nigeria's bid to get to the World Cup in the Americas in 2026. We got to talk about that. Adeze Michael is here together alongside the rest of the team. We will talk. Adeze, good evening to you. Welcome to Game On.
Hi, Sam. Good evening. Good evening, Lagos. It is Game On Tuesday. We know how we do. Today, I'm just in the mood of play. I don't want to talk about something called. We've spoken so much in the last couple of days. Talk. I just want to play around. I just want to bounce. I just want to laugh hard.
Mbre, Abi.
Mbre, you mbre. Mbre song. No time for talk about something called.
All right. We'll see if we can play around a bit with these conversations, but promises to be fun. So what's on the menu today, guys? We're going to talk about the World Cup qualifying process. Like I said, the first part of it is done and dusted. Two games for all the teams on the African continent. And we got a sort of what many will regard as some sort of reprieve, or a second opportunity, or should it even be a first opportunity handed to us by the Rwandans, who we are going to play much later during the process of qualifying, because earlier today they beat South Africa by 2-0 in their own second game in that qualifying process in Group C. So hopefully we're going to be on to a South African journalist who was present at the game, and he's going to tell us how things went all right for South Africa and how much of that could be a blessing to Jose Pesero and the Super Eagles of Nigeria. Okay, and also we're going to be talking about Pesero himself. I'm going to go back to a conversation we had over the weekend. It was on Saturday and Sunday. I was here on Saturday with David Arojulu, and here on Sunday with Adeze Michael. And we did talk about the Super Eagles of Nigeria and their manager. And at what cost will firing the manager come for us? Well, NFF's executive member has said what Adeze said on Sunday here in the studio, and I want us to talk about that, which is we cannot afford to sack Jose Pesero. So we're going to be looking at what that means for Nigerian football. Also, Nigeria is in deeper problems, this time with the athletics body, the IWF of some sort. But the World Anti-Doping Agency has a date set for Nigeria's hearing and what could be a possible expulsion or ban of some sort for our athletes in that particular field of sports. December 8th is D-Day for Nigeria. On the basketball scene, Steph Curry is adding curry to the spice and the stew. And of course, Xabi Alonso, Liverpool legend. Is he a Liverpool legend?
He is.
Xabi Alonso?
Maybe an icon.
Not a legend, right?
Yeah, maybe an icon.
All right. He's in the news because he's been courted by the very big clubs in European football. Real Madrid, Liverpool, and of course AC Milan, all in the hunt for Xabi Alonso. Could he be on the move anytime soon? We'll talk about his managerial career and go back on his footballing career as well and see how well he did as a player and how much of that he can transform to management level. Ivan Toney going to Chelsea. How possible is that? Ahead of Victor Osimhen, we'll also talk about that. And of course, updates from the European continent as Euro 2024 qualifiers continue. Don't forget, the most important part of the show today might just be the one that gets you money. Of course, courtesy of Femi and the gang. Fat G Fans League returns today at 9:30 p.m. to 10 p.m. We will be giving away 10,000 naira to two people only if you can answer questions, four questions within 90 seconds. All right, so stick around for that. And in a bit, I'm going to tell you how or give you a clue as to where you can read up to be part of that particular one. Also, friends at One Play are also giving away 60,000 naira on the show. So you know how to play. You know how we've been singing that one. Go to oneplay.ng and that's the website. Or you dial *347*880*3# play with Paul. A little sum of 500 naira. If only you are 18 years and above. And of course, you play responsibly as well. So all of that, that's what we have on the menu between now and 10 p.m. on the broadcast. It is Game On 99.3 Nigeria Info. Let's get right into it. Well, we'll start trying to establish connection with South African friend and journalist Adeze Rwanda nil South Africa 2. That's how it finished earlier today at 2 p.m. somewhere in Rwanda. Over the weekend, Nigeria produced a stinker of a result twice in a space of 3 days. But we spoke about South Africa taking advantage of Nigeria's slip-up. They did once, they failed to do it a second time. Is that big news for the Super Eagles of Nigeria?
Well, I think that it's not a big news. It's not a big news because in as much as South Africa, who are the major maybe threats in the group on paper, because I mean, realistically, nobody ever thought that Rwanda would teach them some footballing lesson, you know. But I think that we should focus on our house that is crumbled at the moment. You don't have to wait for other nations to do you a favor to get results. Yes, sometimes in football, you rely on some slice of fortune. Like I like to, you know, highlight even in football matches. In life, generally, Sam, you need slice of fortune.
Of course.
I need slice of fortune. But it may not fall for you. You may not have it your way, but you need to do your own part so that when the slice of fortune drops, you enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
We have not done our part in the last two games. We didn't do our part. So this result for me, when I saw it, someone just even called my attention on Twitter. The person was like, have you seen this? And I'm like, ooh, I had to go confirm the scores. It was unbelievable. Two quick goals.
Mm-hmm.
South Africa struggled. I felt, okay, this is just the early part of the game. I felt the Bafana would, you know, come back to at least get something. But that's football for you. But I'm not going to rejoice over the result. I'm not going to, you know, clap for them and say, hey, guys, well done. No, you've got to fix your house. It's crumbling. Your house keeps sinking every single day. By the time you know it, will be crowded with floods. So let's face what is ours. And the same South Africa, you're going to play them home and away. So nothing is won. Nothing. But right now, it looks like the group is just wide open. So anyone can still nick it. Rwanda can also come to you and cause a major upset. Because as it stands now, the solution to fixing our football is not near, Sam. Because if there's going to be a magic in March, the next international break is in March. Mm-hmm. If there's going to be a magic from now to March, I don't know where that magic is going to come from. Is it that you're going to sack Pesero, or is it that you're going to sack the crop of players with wrong attitude? Because I know some of them really wants to play for Nigeria, but not all of them. Some of them are called on based on, let me just, you know, have that international feel. Let me also represent a country. Some of them really want to play for Nigeria. That is why Victor Osimhen and Kelechi Iheanacho, if you watch them, they consistently perform for us in one way or the other. They pop up with goals, they pop up with good performances because they have gone through the ranks, because they've gone through under 17, under 23, straight to the Super Eagles of Nigeria. The culture is there, everything is there. So I think the South Africa result does not, let's focus on our own. Do your own part, don't wait for fluke. Sometimes a fluke will not happen because you're going to play South Africa, you're going to play Rwanda. Even Raw is still, whether we like it or not, still a major threat because he knows the strength of our players. Most of these players, he has coached them. Most of these players, he knows their weaknesses and their strength. And he knows the secrets of Nigeria's football. So Benin Republic, I feel like they could be a very major threat. There will be a potential banana skin fixture for us. So nothing is won. For the fact that we threw 6 points away against Lesotho and Zimbabwe, could come back later on, could, the emphasis there is could come back to haunt Nigeria as a country.
All right, so that's what it is. Adiz is not so optimistic about that result from a South African perspective. But I wonder what the guys think about that. Joining us in the studio is the Rhyme Master. And I'm sure if he were on commentary duties for that game between Rwanda and South Africa, they would have had a ball, a big-time ball with that particular game, because he would have rhymed Nigeria to qualification early on. But Chuma, good evening to you. Welcome to Game On. Adese doesn't think it's what we should celebrate, but our house may not be in order. But, I mean, here comes second opportunity. So should we not take it, or should we take it?
Yeah, it's worth celebrating, by the way. Just trying to ensure our guest is, comfortable when he comes through in the coming minutes. And that's why you're having me in the studio right now with you, Sam. But I think that I understand where Adese is coming from. Having said so, man, you don't want to know how happy I was. You know, I called a few friends. I was like, Alpha, you don't yet see it. Rwanda don't do us favor, Abby. You know, yeah, you're going to be arguing that it's early days. However, at this stage, my biggest cause for fear and trepidation was South Africa going 4 points clear of Nigeria after just two games if they had beaten Rwanda. Because, yeah, the return of qualifying series comes through in March, but for Nigeria, we have to play South Africa in June, and that's a defining moment. So if they were already 4 points ahead of us, imagine dropping points against them if we don't end so early in the qualifying series. And for that reason, you think that it's a great thing what Rwanda did for themselves, first off, because that has ensured that they're on top of the group, but in the process too, ensuring that that group is wide open. It's been a qualifying series where the big boys have really been the big boys, right? We saw even Kenya, who we know more for athletics than anything else, went away from home to win a game by 5-0. We've seen Cote d'Ivoire score goals aplenty. 6 points from the first two games, a goal difference of over plus nine, after, of course, that 9-0 victory in their first game, and then another convincing success. Cameroon have been winning games too. Even Equatorial Guinea went away from home to win a game in this qualifying series. So it looks like that series where all them big boys, Senegal, Egypt, everybody's announcing their presence, and it's just a certain Super Eagles, who are three-time African champions, who are stuttering and leaving everybody in limbo as to our chances. So seeing that pleasure of having Rwanda beat South Africa is a massive boost. And one final thing I'm going to add as to why this is a massive boost is we have an Africa Cup of Nations competition before the qualifying series returns. That could turn things around completely. That can, because it could be the end of the road for Jose Peseiro. It could also be an opportunity for him to rectify his mistakes if he remains as coach of the Super Eagles, which looks very likely now amid the conversations of him being old and the NFF not being able to sack him, because there'll have to be the financial ramifications that'll come through from that. And we know what happened. Now, before the Women's World Cup, we're all gone. So many people said, Wardroom is randy. He should not be given a chance. He's making things sandy for the Super Falcons. And then he went to the World Cup and upped the ante with that Super Falcons team. And we know how narrowly we lost to England. Today, we're having Nigerians say, bring back Randy Wardroom. Why is it that we have the assistant or interim coach now inviting players? So Nigerians, our mindset can change just in a matter of months. Peseiro now looks like the enemy of the state. Kudos to that movie I saw so many years back. But imagine if he goes to the AFCON, get it right in the AFCON like Randy Wardroom did at the World Cup for us. There'll be a mentality change.
He becomes a Messiah.
In time for the next phase of qualifying. So there's time for us to correct things, and that's the best part of it. And kudos to Rwanda again. They have ensured that they've done well for themselves, but have also helped Nigeria buy time to correct the mistakes of the past. And hopefully we do.
That's another angle to look at it from. Let's get the voice of the one who's got the voice and the sauce. The voice of the voice. Not the voice of the gods this time. We've got about 2 minutes before your break. Anthony, the voice, good to see you. Welcome to Game On. Are you excited Rwanda did us a favor?
Well, I guess. It was, I don't know. I mean, it's so awkward. Everything is awkward that we're looking to Rwanda to do us a favor, but that's the reality of where we are now. I think it's one of the things you have to do if you want to grow is look at yourself in the mirror and accept that, hey, I'm not where I used to be. And then, you know, start mapping a way forward. But I'm more concerned that Comoros Island defeated the Ghanaian national team, Lagos.
So we're not the only one in that situation.
Are there still Minos or not?
Comoros.
There will always be Minos.
Comoros, with a lot of semi-professional players and artisans and craftsmen. It's incredible.
He's like, you're one of those who used to give excuses to your father. Sorry. Yeah. You see this subject? Everybody failed it. I'm not the only one that failed it. Tony, you're sounding like that. Give me such vibes.
I don't know, but Nigeria, Ghana, I don't know what is wrong. But
brothers
in a lot of things. but, you know, Sam, let's see how that goes. Huh?
All right, let's see. All right, what we got to see in a few seconds is Zeta taking us to the market where we get to pay our bills and, of course, earn our salary in a couple of days' time. We're looking forward to that. Yes, we are.
You only make tax collectors on the day of standby. You see what you don't do now.
0700-993-993-993. That's the general number for everybody to call. And, of course, ladies, 01465-7190. Join the conversation on WhatsApp, 080-9597-5805. And, of course, on X, we are at Nigeria Info FM on X. At Nigeria Info FM on X. I don't think we have enough time to take that call, so let's just go on that break. When we come back, open up the phone lines and we get to hear from you. And of course, we'll be talking about the future of Joseph Pesero in relation to Rwanda beating South Africa by 2-0. Chuma's raised an angle I really want to touch on. And of course, I know you will also be willing to give me some very brilliant analysis on that aspect. Game on 99.3 Nigeria Info. We will be right back. You can run the mile, you can walk straight through hell with a smile. You could be the hero, you can get the gold. Breaking all the records they thought never could be broke. Yeah, do it for your people, do it for your pride. And you're never gonna know if you never even try. Do it for your country, do it for your name. Cause there's gonna be a day when you're dead. All right, it certainly is a feeling of heaven right here in the studio, 99.3 Nigeria Info. Welcome back to Game On the show. We are Femi and the gang, you know that, right? And we are Nigeria's finest for news, talk and sports, 99.3 Nigeria Info. In the studio, this is the voice of Samuel Victor Akpan in good company of Chuma Nolly, Anthony the Voice, Adeze Michael, and joining us is a champion in his right because he's making champions everywhere he goes. Yeah, so again, like I love to do, I'm going to let him introduce himself so you can get to meet him right here in the studio. Good evening. Welcome to Game On. I want to call you Mr. Champion. First off, can you make me a champion?
Nah.
Why am I too old? Am I too old for that?
Yeah.
Am I too old for that?
Yeah. You.
I don't look the part, do I?
No. Well, to be honest, interesting thing that you know about me, again, I'm actually a boxing manager. And three years ago, I actually met a young mechanic.
Okay.
Whose ambition was to become a world champion.
All right.
And I can tell you that after taking him out of his day job, I can tell you that today he's the light heavyweight champion of Nigeria.
Oh, wow.
After just 11 fights. So, wow. Yeah, it is possible for but for you, I'm wondering how. maybe chess? Chess, yeah?
Well.
You play chess?
Nah, I don't do chess. Nah, no, I don't do board games. If it's not Ludo or what's the other one? Monopoly. I'm done. If it's not that, I'm done. But any other thing outside that, I think I'm pretty good. And I could take you on.
Where?
We'll talk about that off air, but good to see you. Welcome to the broadcast. You've got very, very important discussion we're going to have. And of course, we're going to go outside of that. It's all about making of champions, and you're going to tell us all about that. But let Lagos meet you, first of all.
So do you want me to introduce myself officially or unofficially? Which one?
Officially and unofficially.
Okay. Officially, my name is Babatunde Koiki.
Okay.
I am the manager, partnerships, PR and media for Making of Champions, Nigeria's leading talent management, events and media company. That's officially.
Okay. Unofficially now.
Unofficially, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, homies and honeys, my name is Babatunde Koiki, aka Twisted Steel, Sex Appeal, you know, the real deal. On time for you, man, we hit it from behind, make it shine like a gold mine. I'm the king of the wide receivers, and I'm the running back that keeps your girlfriend running back. Holla at your boy.
You know, if my boss is listening, my job could be on that. You want to take my job? Well, great to see you. Welcome. Thank you. Welcome to the broadcast. Now, that's why I'm going to take you on when I say I can take you on. Well, always a pleasure. You're here to talk to us about Making of Champions. We're going to let that simmer just a bit because we've got someone we want to talk to you about. And I'm sure this is something that's also of particular interest to you because you are a Nigerian. All things are Super Eagles of Nigeria. By the way, did you watch the two World Cup qualifiers we had?
Absolutely not.
That's a stream.
You didn't watch it?
I don't know. At all.
Why is that?
I knew they were not going to perform.
And you didn't watch it?
Yeah, so I wasn't surprised.
Okay. All right.
Try.
Okay. Wow. That's one Nigerian.
Kind of see finish for Spygos.
And the kind
you're
of,
privy to.
I'm privy to a lot of information from a lot of people, so I've given up a long time ago.
Okay. All right. We'll talk about that. But we've got a South African journalist online with us. He is Lawrence Kola, I hope I said that correctly.
Oh, who's friend of mine.
Oh, you know him.
I know Lawrence.
Joining us all the way from South Africa or Rwanda. I think he went to see the game. Good evening. Welcome to Game On, Lawrence.
Thank you guys for inviting me and good evening to the listeners.
Good evening to you. Great to have you speak to the Nigerian public. First off, let's start off from that game that finished a couple of hours ago in Kigali, Rwanda. It finished against the Bafana of South Africa. Where did it go wrong for your side? I mean, the Bafana. It was a game many expected them to come through with the 3 points after that first victory over Zimbabwe. But on the night or on the afternoon, where did it go wrong for South Africa?
Yeah, I think it was actually in Butare. But I think it's very similar to what Pesero and Iwobi said, that the traveling from Kigali, 3 hour bus drive on match day minus one, and then coming there to an artificial surface that we wouldn't even put like under 13 or under 15s on a pitch like that. Wow. It's we're struggling to believe how that was past fit as a the calf test that has been seen so stringent around the continent. And then added to that, the pitch was completely waterlogged. So like in the first half an hour of the game, the ball literally couldn't even roll. But then, you know, you need to adapt and you need to overcome for these circumstances. And South Africa just didn't adapt. They were trying to play like Mamelodi Sundowns on a waterlogged artificial surface, where Rwanda was just playing Route 1 football, passing at long balls. And they got both of their goals through that, and obviously the second one was like a defensive mistake. But yeah, after that it was basically game over. South Africa just, they didn't adapt to the circumstances of the game.
Okay, but looking at that result and the performance that you mentioned, which is obviously down to certain factors, the pitch, the travel conditions and all that, do you think South Africans will, you know, take that on the chin, or do you think questions will be asked of the manager Hugo Broos and how the side has performed? Is there cause for South Africans to be worried?
Look, this is a split thing. A lot of people don't like him because he's a foreigner. There's this, you know, section of the public that always think, oh no, a local coach can do better, blah, 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 blah. And there's some people just doesn't like him because of his honesty. And, you know, obviously he's not being very kind to the biggest supported club in the country, which is Kaizer Chiefs. So there's a lot of fans, South African fans in general, who don't like him. So they're always looking to criticize him at any chance that they get. But most people understood it because they watched the game. It was a terrible game to watch. It was absolutely horrific. But yeah, it's a strange situation for us because we know, like, even if we had to smash them 6-0, we would go to Uyo in the next game and they'll lose. You know what I mean? It's just how it is. Like, both Nigeria and South Africa somehow struggle against the Minnows, and we can't understand why. It's Ghana as well. Ghana has come new to the party. I mean, they just lost to Gabon.
Yeah.
So it's a bit of a strange situation. And us as fans, we just can't put our our heads around it, why it keeps happening.
Okay. Now, you mentioned the manager, Hugo Broos, but I'm going to come back to him in a bit. But the qualification process now, the group is wide open with Rwanda sitting top with 4 points, South Africa with 3, Nigeria with 2, and of course the rest are down there. But it all comes down, do you feel it all comes down to that meeting between Nigeria and South Africa? Or are Nigeria and South Africa really looking at the possibility of a hurdle with the likes of Rwanda and Zimbabwe in this group?
I think Zimbabwe is definitely one to look out for. If they can keep their players fit.
Okay.
If they can get somebody like Kadewere firing, then they definitely have a chance. And they're a bit of our bogey team. Like, we can't seem to get through. We always either draw, we always lose, dropping points against Zimbabwe, especially in these World Cup qualifiers. And then, I don't know, no matter how good South Africa plays, if we can outplay Nigeria off the park for 90 minutes, we'll still lose. It's just one of those things. So we were certainly just hoping to get 6 points from these two games. It is, in fact, a blow for us, because we do know that this type of result will happen again, like maybe away to Benin. We can't see ourselves, you know, winning all the games if you take away from the Nigeria and the Zimbabwe game. So it's a big blow, but obviously maybe a lesson learned for this team.
You've repeatedly mentioned Nigeria, and what is not so much of confidence on the part of Nigerians following our own results against Zimbabwe and, of course, who did we play?
Lesotho.
You seem to still think that Nigeria is in good stead to take on the South African. So what it is about Nigeria that makes you think, even with South Africa not having a bad campaign as Nigeria is, two matches in, they still would, I mean, you're laughing, they still would struggle against Nigeria. What is it about Nigeria that makes you worry?
I think there's just definitely a fear factor. Like, the game isn't played on paper, but
yeah,
South Africa and against Nigeria, they look at the paper and they see Victor Osimhen, Victor Boniface, they see and Moses Simon, and then the game is lost already. I don't know why it keeps happening like this. There is a rivalry amongst the fans.
Yeah.
But on the pitch, Nigeria just has their number over us. I mean, like I said, Nigeria can come in poor form and we can come in good form. And then I just think there's a certain factor of physical superiority from the Super Eagles over South Africa. Like I said, we can outplay them on the pitch and then they'll get a set piece or something, and they'll put us to bed, and it's quite frustrating.
Lawrence,
one of the teams, yeah.
Lawrence, are you playing reverse psychology?
it seems like it at this moment.
It's honestly one of the teams that we need to acknowledge that we hate facing. Nigeria.
Because Lawrence, I remember the last time we hosted South Africa here in Uyo, it was a 2-0 victory for South Africa. Percy Tau, who still plays for the Bafana Bafana, scored in that game to silence the Nigerian crowd. So here's us as Nigerians thinking, maybe we could have a repeat of that. And you as a South African,
yeah, but what
saying,
did the result mean? Nothing.
True that.
And then, when it mattered, it was the 2019 AFCON quarterfinal, and then we lost in the dying,
yeah, the big occasions,
and that's what I'm alluding to.
Okay, so are you still confident South Africa can make it to the World Cup, get the Seoul ticket? I mean, it's a lengthy process, but at this stage, are you confident?
Look, I mean, we're not even dominating in Africa. Like, we didn't qualify for the previous AFCON. We don't really have like an amazing team, so to say. So my confidence has never been high about this group. But obviously when I saw Nigeria not getting favorable results in the first two games, it did kind of give me some glimmer of hope.
Okay.
But then seeing a result like this again, it's like a roller coaster of emotions, you know what I mean? And if we're being honest, it should be Nigeria and South Africa fighting for that top spot.
Yeah.
And if we do get that top spot, amazing for us. And I think Nigeria is obviously, even if you guys come second, you are one of the nations that are capable of, you know, winning that playoffs
spot.
If you come second, if you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Where South Africa just don't have that mentality, they will crack or... You know what I mean? It's the pressure will get too much for them. So it's all or nothing is for us. But to say I'm confident of winning, I don't think so. We don't have that type of depth.
We have still got Lawrence Kola online with us from South Africa, and he's been telling us all about the South African dream of getting to the World Cup and why Nigeria could be a possible threat even with a stinker of a form at the moment. Lawrence, apologies for that, but you were on a thought that you wanted to wrap up on before that break.
Yeah, I was just saying that Nigeria just have that mental toughness, even though they can start poorly, and everybody's rejoicing in South Africa as a football fan. But me as a journalist and being experienced enough to see what happens in the Super Eagles adversity, what's probably going to happen is Jose Peseiro will be fired, some local coach will come in, and they'll win the rest of their games. You know what I mean? I've seen the script. I've seen this movie before. Everything. It's. I can tell you now for free what's going to happen over the next 2 years. A local guy is going to save them, qualify, win the group, and then people are going to down tools over a bonus pay structure going into the World Cup. It's the same narrative, the same cycle every single time single with Nigeria. Time.
Okay. We love to hear you as a South African say that. But on a final note from me, and you're pretty much right. It could. I can go out on a limb and say you're 70 to 80% right. That's going to pan out the way you've said it. Well, on a final note from me, South Africa did make it to the AFCON that's happening in January. Are you more confident South Africa can do something at that tourney?
Yeah, like I was saying, if we have our best players in the squad and fit and firing, then yes, we do have a chance, but we don't have depth, and that's the only problem. And then you see Morocco, you see Algeria, you see Senegal. These guys have depth for tournaments, if you know what I mean. So look, I mean, a quarterfinal, semifinal would be a good target for us going into AFCON, whereas a quarterfinal and a semifinal is not a good target for Nigeria. So you see there are levels to expectations at the moment.
All right. Thank you. Appreciate you so much for taking time to talk to us on the broadcast. And best believe me, you have just lifted the mood and the optimism of 120 million people in Nigeria with the comments you've made tonight. Thank you so much for joining us on the broadcast.
It's a pleasure. Thank you.
And have a jolly good time, sir. All right. Thank you so much. I mean, that was something. So as a Nigerian, you have to start celebrating that particular one. Lawrence Akola joining us from South Africa, South African journalist, telling us that even with that result for Nigeria, South Africans are still optimistic that they might not make it to the World Cup come 2026 in the Americas. But what I'm optimistic about is the winner today. I've been saying it repeatedly. One play is giving away money on the show. We're officially in that one play hour of the broadcast. And of course, you get to win if you play. It's only going to cost you 500 naira to play, and you could win on the show today. We've still got with us Babatunde in the studio. Koiki, right? I hope I said that.
Not too bad, but it's actually Koiki.
Koiki. All right, yeah. Koiki. With us in the studio, he is from Making of Champions, and he's going to tell us all that we need to know about that one when it comes to... When is it happening?
Well, it's been happening.
It's been
happening all across Nigeria. We started in Benin. Okay. Where we had 1,700 entries. It was really, really fascinating to competition.
Has been happening?
Well, MTN Champs. It's called it's now known as the
MTN. It has a title sponsor now.
Yes. So it's the National Secondary School Athletics Championships, but it's sponsored by MTN. And it's a really, really good competition for secondary school students between the ages of 14 and 17. We also have a category for junior athletes as well, who are under the age of 20 as well. And it's been brilliant. It's been absolutely brilliant. First event held in Benin at the Samuel Ogbomolia Stadium. We moved from there to Uyo, to the Godswill Akpabio International Stadium. We're also at the Lekan Salami Stadium in Ibadan. And I can tell you that the love for athletics in Nigeria is still very, very strong. In Benin, we had 1,700 entries. In Uyo, we had 2,500 entries. In Ibadan, we had over 3,500. In fact, we had too many people entrants.
That's over 7,000.
The target really for what we had was 10,000 athletes this year alone. And
age 14
to 17. Yeah, entries
across Nigeria.
Across Nigeria. We had to use two stadiums in Ibadan. We had to use the University of Ibadan, and also had to use the Lekan Salami Stadium in order to accommodate the huge crowd that we had. And I can tell you, I'm just having goosebumps just recalling some of the things I saw. The raw talent in this country is phenomenal. I've seen athletes who are supposedly not of age beating more older athletes. I've seen athletes who are barefoot beating athletes with spikes. I've seen athletes of tremendous ability, and they've had minimal coaching, minimal training, minimal exposure, and they are performing at such an incredible level. Just imagine what we can do if we take these rough diamonds, we polish them, and we put them on the world stage. So Athletic is pretty strong in Nigeria. It just needed the right push, the right support, and the right environment for it to flourish. And that's what we're providing at MTN Champs. We're making our champions.
That informs my...
Go on. So I'm so happy when I watch the MTN Champs on SuperSport. I'm excited. I see the project. I can even feel the excitement in the voices of the athletes. They want to be seen.
Oh yeah.
You could see anyone, you know what, even if it's the bronze medal, they are so excited. Their names have been heard. But now, we set the agenda. We always know that talent is not a problem. The issue we're even having in the Super Eagles setup is that we have refused to make do with the population we have, which is our weapon. But now, my worry is this: where do they go from here?
Mm.
All of the best talent. How do we hone them? It would appear that the government are not transparent with some dealings. How do we get... Back in the day, I remember the Mobile tournaments that used to bring the best of legs.
Mobile
and MTN practical. In 2023 or 2022, as the case may be, for some years now, have come on board. And I'm grateful for that. How do we keep them? How do we... Because we go for all of these Paris Olympics and what... And then we just roll ourselves down to five spots. Meanwhile, we have... I was telling people, we have good swimmers.
Yeah.
We have every other, we can expand. How do we keep them together? How do we support them? How do we make them professional athletes after their secondary school, maybe gaining some scholarship is quite a lot. So what do you do with that?
I'm really grateful that you asked that question, because that is exactly what we do at Making Our Champions. And that's really what our name is about. We make champions. We've been in existence for 10 years now. This year is our 10th year anniversary. In that time, we have brought to limelight athletes who have won over 70 medals for Nigeria domestically and internationally. I'm talking about the African Games, Commonwealth Games. We have athletes who have also competed at the Olympic Games as well. So this is what we do. We also have athletes who have gained scholarships to American colleges and universities, currently competing in the NCAA circuit. And that is exactly what, in fact,
hold the thoughts. Let's go on a break. When we come back, you'd continue on that conversation. This is Game On at 99.3 Nigeria Info. It's all about the opportunity for you to win money on the broadcast.